Good evening. Please take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. This evening, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to open this evening with an interesting thought here. A few people here at Bible have told me that they really enjoy when I preach. And that's always really encouraging to me. But when I dig a little deeper, I realize that they just want to be out in 20 minutes. And so they appreciate that I'm short-winded. It has little to do with the content of what I'm saying and mostly just the time that they're out of here. But I hope that tonight that you are encouraged and helped through God's Word as we look at Colossians. I am thankful for the opportunity again to open up God's Word. And Lord willing, next time I have this opportunity, we'll be looking into Colossians chapter 4 as we've made our way through Colossians, the last few opportunities that God has given me here. So the big picture of the book of Colossians, what is it? Before we look at chapter 3, what is the big picture of Colossians? And that is really, we are seeing an invisible God through Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians really, in a small nutshell, what it's about. We're seeing an invisible God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so what does Colossians 3 have to say about that? Well, the verses that we're going to study or look into tonight is really a smaller snapshot of a greater context in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And so before we look into verse 1 is where we'll start this evening, I'd actually like to take your attention back to the previous chapter in chapter 2, because this is going to give us an idea of where we're going in chapter 3. So look with me, please, at chapter 2, starting in verse 12, and then we'll skip to verse 18, and then we'll finish in verse 23. So starting in verse 12, it says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Verse 18. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And then verse 23, the last verse before we get to chapter 3, says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will, worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Now we have verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3. Says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Let's pray as we start. Father, thank you for the text that we just read, and thank you for the reminder of what we're about to see and the importance of living for things above. I pray that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, as we look into your word this evening. Help us to be able to realign our lives with the priorities that we see in your word and in this text in particular. Pray that you would speak to us as we go through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He starts and he says, "If," New International Version says, "since you have been risen with Christ." So it may be confusing, but it's not an if. It's more of a declarative statement. If or since you've been risen with Christ, or because you've been risen with Christ, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Since you've been risen with Christ. So I purposely read back in verse 12 of chapter 2 because there's a connection. It says we were buried with him, with Christ, in baptism. And now we're also risen with Christ through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him, or Jesus, from the dead. So because you have been risen, verse 12 of chapter 2 proves that to us. Because we've been risen with Christ, now our response is to seek the things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. The Greek word that's translated seek is zetiai, which means in this context to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, and strive after. So that's what we're supposed to do, all because we've been risen with Christ. Verse 12. What we pursue in our life, our desires, have to be reflective of this place where Jesus is currently located, and it says that he is sitting at the right hand of God. I had a camp counselor who asked our cabin one night, where is Jesus right now? And he was met by what I was just met with, silence. Nobody knew at that point. I didn't know at that point in my life. Where is Jesus right now? He's sitting at the right hand of God. This is where Jesus is currently located. He is in heaven at the right hand of God. So because we've been risen with Christ, we're supposed to pursue in our lives things that are reflective of where Jesus is right now, heavenly things. So the first truth that I would like to lay out for us this evening is that heavenly desires are to be pursued because you're risen with Christ, in verse 1. Heavenly desires, emphasis on the desires. Heavenly desires are to be pursued because we're risen with Christ. So the question I think that leads us to ask is, are our desires of heavenly or earthly value? Really only you can answer that question, but are your desires of heavenly or earthly value? In our hearts, we have to be able to answer this question for ourselves. It's not really a question that I can answer for you. I can't look at you and say, you have heavenly desires. I can see some fruit in your life, but I can't for sure know what's going on inside. I don't know if you have heavenly or if you have earthly desires, but you can answer that question. And I wanted to make something clear from this passage is that we can't pursue both. There has to be a distinction made between earthly and eternal values in our lives. We have to make a choice. We can't have both. We can't have a little earthly desires and a little eternal desires. There has to be a difference here. And I don't think we need to explain this as a church family. I think we know the difference between earthly and heavenly desires. Matthew Henry, the well-known commentator, said, "As heaven and earth are contrary the one to the other, both cannot be followed together. An affection to one," meaning an affection to an earthly desire or a heavenly desire, "an affection to one will weaken and abate affection to the other." There has to be a separation. You can't pursue both. So I hope that we are able to pursue heavenly desires this week as we live our lives. That's the first truth. Heavenly desires are to be pursued because we're risen with Christ. Then verse 2, we see the second truth I want to emphasize is that a heavenly mindset is to be pursued, not an earthly one, in verse 2. It says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." This morning in Sunday school, our teens looked into Romans 8 for a short period. And we emphasized what Paul emphasizes there toward the beginning of chapter 8, that decisions start in your mind. Decisions always start in your mind before you actually act on what's in your head. So as we think about, for example, this past week, we think about the horrible situation in Texas. Did the school shooter wake up and decide out of the blue that he was going to shoot 19 elementary students? No, he didn't. It started in his head weeks, maybe months, maybe even years before he decided to take that action. Our decisions start in our head. So that's why Paul is emphasizing to us the importance of a heavenly mindset. The King James uses the word affection here, which is the Greek word phroneite, which actually means to set your minds upon. So you could say when you see the word affection there, if you're looking at a King James, really it's a mindset. It's setting your mind, choosing to dwell in your head on things of eternal value, not earthly value. Things above is what he says, not on things on the earth. Because our decisions begin in our mind before we act things out, Paul is in particular saying here that we have to put our thinking on eternal things and then our actions will follow. There is a distinction and a progression here between verses 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, he's saying, seek after eternal things. In verse 2, we're supposed to think about eternal things. A heavenly mindset is to be pursued. It's been said that the two things that reveal our priorities the most are our money and our time. So think about your week, this past week. How did we spend our money and how did we spend our time? What did we think about that led to spending time and led to spending money? What was our thought process? Were we thinking things above, eternal value, or were we tempted or even gave in to thinking and acting in ways that reflect an earthly desire first over eternal values?
Point number three, our third truth tonight is your old life is dead and your new life is hidden with Christ. If you would look again at verse three, he says, "For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So since you have died to your old life was tied to earthly desires and earthly ways of thinking like we've seen in the previous two verses. The question we can draw out, why are we still pursuing things that are not eternal? If we're dead to our old life and our new life is hid with Christ in God, why are we pursuing in any way things that are not eternal, that aren't reflective of our new life in Christ, that aren't reflective of eternity? Growing up, I had a youth pastor. He would always tell us in our youth group, and he would remind us repeatedly of the truth of not wasting our lives. And I remember him saying this phrase over and over again. He would say, "Don't waste your life on things that don't matter." And he'd say that over and over again. Don't waste your life on things that don't matter. And because he said it so often, it stuck with us as a group. Don't waste your life on things that don't matter. So Paul is reminding us in his own way of this truth, don't waste your life on things that don't matter, things that are tied to this world, not eternal things that last beyond this world. And that's not to say they're not things that we can enjoy. There's a difference between enjoying things that God has given us in this life and intentionally resting for God's glory. There's a difference between that and intentionally wasting our lives on things that don't last and don't matter. There are things that God has given us to enjoy. But there's a difference between resting for God's glory so that we can better serve Him and wasting our lives on things that don't last. We want to be careful about how we live. Our last truth this evening is one day you will appear with Christ. I think it's important to note this. When he says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." It's important to note this because in verse 3, notice he says, "You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then in verse 4, he says, "When Christ appears, you will appear with Him in glory." And so, really, we're going from a state of hiding to a state of exposure. Your life is hid with Christ, and now you're going to a state of exposure. You're going to appear with Christ in a glorious state. A.R. Fawcett, a commentator who wrote the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, he said, the spiritual life our souls have now in Him shall be extended to our bodies. We'll appear with Christ in glory. He says, when Christ, who is our life, that's one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture. When Christ, who is our life. So because we've been risen with Christ, what is our life? It's no longer sports. It's no longer music. It's no longer career. It's no longer our families, as great as that is. Our life is Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, and when He appears, we will appear with Him in glory. We've learned that our lives have been hidden, but now they'll appear. Christ right now is hidden from our sight in heaven, but one day we will see Him with our eyes. It is in this promise of Christ's return and our appearance with Him that we find motivation to live for the eternal things that we just read about in verses 1 and 2. The things that we're supposed to set our affection on. The things that we are supposed to pursue in our minds, our mindset. A clarification. When I read this for many years, I thought when it said that we will appear with Him in glory, that in glory was referring to heavenly state. But it's actually referring to the state that we will be in when we appear with Christ. Not a specific location necessarily. So Heinrich Meyer, in his commentary on the New Testament, helps explain this for us. And he says, this state, in glory, is the glorious condition of blessedness into which it is appointed and promised that true Christians shall enter after their Savior's return from heaven. It's a state of blessedness. So when we appear with Christ, it is in a glorious state of blessedness. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will appear with Him in glory. You've been living for Christ your whole lives, hopefully. From the point of salvation, hopefully, you have been faithful and you've been living with Christ. Now you get to see Him. Now you're going to appear with Him, verse 4. This past week, I think, was a difficult week for many people. We know about the news headlines, but I actually wanted to start and mention something that struck me even before Tuesday's shooting. Something that struck me of that was discouraging for me was last Sunday, the Southern Baptist Convention released a long statement detailing some allegations made of sexual abuse against various clergy within their denomination. So I'm not a Southern Baptist, but one of those pastors that received those allegations, I've actually met personally, and I've been helped by reading one of his books. And so to see his name, that's a discouragement. That impacted me. So I've been processing since that time, that report that came out a week ago. And then, as you know, this past Tuesday, an 18-year-old opened fire at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. He killed 19 students and two teachers. If you are also into the news, you read probably on Wednesday, Russia continued their attacks on Ukraine. They targeted over 40 towns in the Donbass region. So you're reading about those attacks. Maybe you have personally been impacted by something that I didn't just mention. Something going on in your life or in your family, at your job, an interpersonal conflict. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe you've just been going through something personally that maybe no one knows about, but it's been difficult for you this past week. And it's unrelated to the situations I just mentioned. But regardless, it's weighing heavily on you. So brothers and sisters, as we conclude, I wanted to encourage you this evening with the truth that one day Christ is going to appear. And when he does appear, we're going to appear with him in that glorious state. We will appear with him in glory. This life is temporary, but our dwelling with Christ is forever. We read that clearly in verse 4. Our dwelling with Christ is forever. And so because of that, verse 4, because our life will appear and be with Christ and will be with him forever in glory, our response is to apply what we read in the first two verses. Our response is to live for things above in our thinking, in our love, and in our actions as well. Our desires, how we live our lives, to live for things above. Set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because we've been risen with Christ, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is right now, sitting at the right hand of God. Since we've died to our old life, we're dead. Our life is hid with Christ in God currently. It's currently hid with Christ in God. But one day, Christ will appear. Our lives will appear with him in glory. And that's a glorious truth to remember and look forward to. Paul goes on to say different things that we're supposed to do with the sin in our life. But for now, let me just conclude by reminding us, may we live for things above at all times. May we live for things above because we've been risen with Christ.